Let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews 13. We began last Sunday. As I had mentioned to you, I'm taking just a little brief respite series in John. I think it's good to do that from time to time. And we are looking at a interesting topic that I've entitled Sacrifices Under the New Covenant. We all know that the significance, or at least we should, the significance of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. They are central to the redemptive teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a picture, they are a shadow of good and better things to come. Or, as Paul instructs us, the sacrifices are had a central purpose in that it was to lead us to Christ. They were not to be an end in themselves, something that many of the Israelites missed during that time. And the sacrifices became almost an idolatry, a form of idolatry, for many of the Israelites, not realizing the purpose behind them. But yet at the same time, when we read and we understand their purpose, we know for why they were given to us, and the writer of Hebrews is the one who gives us the best explanation of why they are in our Scripture. I don't think you can have a complete understanding of the Old Testament sacrifices without understanding the book of Hebrews. You need to read it in order to understand why they are there. But it's interesting, we know that when these sacrifices, when they were being offered, the writer of Hebrews told us, and we looked at this last time, he mentions the fact that they had to be offered day by day, month by month, year by year. It was an ongoing thing. But here's the wonderful thing this morning, and I think it bears repeating, that he contrasts those ongoing sacrifices with the fact that Christ, being the perfect, the ultimate sacrifice, was offered once for all. What a wonderful thing. And so what does that do? It makes now the future animal sacrifices null and void and completely unnecessary. But it's very interesting, though. Are there still sacrifices that we need to offer under the new covenant? And the answer is yes. It is not animal sacrifices, however. Peter mentions something very interesting in his epistle, his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus." So the answer is yes, there are still sacrifices that you and I are to be offering on a continual basis under the new covenant. What are those? I think there are three main sacrifices. We looked at the first one last week. The first one is found in Romans 12:1, and that is the sacrifice of consecration. I will not repeat that, but you know the verse. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a," what? "Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So the first sacrifice is a sacrifice of total consecration to God. That's the starting point. If we do not do that, then we cannot do the others that are suggested in Scripture. So let's go to the other two. The second one we find, and in fact, both of these last two, we find in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Notice in verse 15, he says, "By him, therefore," Hebrews 13, verse 15, "by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Isn't that a good verse? What a wonderful verse that is. The second sacrifice that we are to be offering continually under the new covenant is the sacrifice of praise. Now, praise is a word that we know well. We know it well if you've read your Bible, because the word praise is mentioned 300 times approximately in Scripture and over 130 times in the Psalms alone. It is a major feature of what we have in Scripture and what we are to be doing as believers. Again, let me remind you that these sacrifices that we're talking about in the or under the new covenant have no redemptive value. In other words, these are being done because we're saved. They do not save us. But they are indicative, or in other words, they are a sign of one who is in Christ, one who is a child of God, one who has been saved completely from his sins. And he is offering this back to his Savior. This is not performance Christianity. This is not where, well, if I can just do these things and check off my list, then I'm going to be okay. Listen, the Israelites fell into that trap with the Mosaic Law. And I would say that we in the church age have fallen into that trap, and it's so easily done that we can do that as well. That if I just check off these things, if I just do certain things, then I'm going to be all right. Listen, we can go through the motions of being right and still be wrong. That's the danger that many Christians face in their Christian walk. Because they have this idea that, man, if I can just perform better and do better, and we should, obviously, but however, we think that God is going to be more pleased with us if we just, it's just act. Listen, here's what we need to understand. When you are in Christ, you are complete in Him. You understand that? You can't be more in Christ in a judicial sense than you are right now. We try to improve on those things of being in Christ. Listen, by grace are ye saved when we are in Him. Can we displease God? Yes, we certainly can. We can have certain things that can come in because of our own actions that harm the relationship. But yet at the same time, in a judicial sense, listen, when you are in Christ, let me just word it this way, you are in Him all the way. Yet we try to improve that. And in a sense, we become like the very ones that we criticize or have a problem with on a theological level. You say, what do you mean? Well, there are many religions, and some of you have been saved out of them. And many of those religions, what is the foundation and the basis of many false religions? It is, I can work my way to God and into eternity. What a tragic thing. And I would say probably most of the world is operating underneath that false belief. Yet, we as Bible-believing Christians can actually do that if we're not careful. We may not believe that way, but we're certainly living that way. We need to understand that. Praise. Notice here in verse 15. Notice this sacrifice of praise. It is to be, first of all, it is continual. It is continual. It is not where we come to church and we come and we sit soaking sour and say, well, okay, I'll praise God because I'm told I need to and so forth, and then I'll go home and live out the rest of my week. Listen, praise is a continual thing, whether we're in the house of God or whether we're walking by the way or whatever we're doing. Listen, praise for the believer, listen to me, is a lifestyle. It's something that we are to be constantly doing. He says again, by Him. Notice the by Him. Underline those two words, because that is the motivation or the foundation of the reason that we're to be in the state, the continual state of praise. It is by Him. It is not, listen to me, it is not by our circumstances. Did you hear that? The verse does not say, by our circumstances, let us therefore offer praise. Because let me tell you, and some of you have experienced this, some of you know this, that life does not always offer us happy or peaceful circumstances. Is that true? So therefore, we do what? Well, I can't praise in those times. We must praise in those times. And we need to praise in those times. It says, those first two words of verse 15, by Him, we are to offer praise forever because of the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. By Him. That is the motivation, that is the foundation of why we are in a continual state of praise. Now again, I know all too well, and I'll identify with you this morning, okay? I don't always feel like it, do you? When you have to get up tomorrow morning to go to work, do you feel like getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning or however early you get up and going to work on Monday morning? Probably most of you say, well, not really. But you do it anyway, right? Why? You're motivated for various reasons. And we'll not get into all that. So in other words, you would agree with me that when it comes to our work and our responsibilities, we cannot be relying totally upon the way we feel about it. Is that correct? Sometimes, listen, we are human. We have feelings and emotions that were given to us by God. We don't feel like praising, but yet we do it anyway. We do it anyway. Why? Because God commands it. Because here He is saying this is something you should be doing on a continual basis because of His redemptive work in times of peace and in times of trial as well. That is not easy. But I will say this, when you and I, in the dark valleys of temptation and trial, tragedy, can give the upward look, and we can offer praise to God, even in those times, my friend, that is a sign that we have matured in Christ. Well, I know that, again, we have examples in the Scripture, and sometimes we look at them and we think, wow, they set a pretty high level. The bar is set high, especially for someone like Paul. And we almost deify Paul. Listen, Paul was a man of like passions as we are. Paul was discouraged. Paul had failings. Paul had times where he was in despair. Paul had times where he wanted to give up. Paul was a man of like flesh. But yet here is one who matured in the Lord to the point where even when he was in stocks and he was imprisoned, and he was being treated unfairly, and he didn't understand why these things fell out in his life the way they had, he was singing hymns at midnight. I've always thought about that passage, and I honestly don't know that I would feel like singing at that point. I wonder how many of you would feel like singing under those conditions. Most of us in this day and age, we would probably be in the writing emails or writing letters from our prison cell to all of our friends and family and congressmen and whoever saying, get me out of here. I'm being treated unfairly. This isn't right. I'm a minister of God. And Paul's what he's doing. Paul's praising God. What a lesson. What a lesson. In times of trial, it will show. Listen, crises and how we respond to them and how we go through them reveals where we are in our, it reveals the depth of our relationship to our God. It reveals the depth of our relationship. I'm reading a book, and the author said this, and it stood out to me the other day. He said, our pressures drive us to His principles. His principles lead us to His person. And by meditating on His principles and person, we persevere through our struggles and arrive at praise. I like that. And that's where we need to be, praising the Lord for all that He's done. Listen, one of the reasons that we meet here every first day of the week, one of the many reasons, but one of the main reasons that we meet here together. By the way, listen, young people, are you listening? It's not because this is what we've always done and we need to do it, and if we don't, we'll feel guilty about it. Listen, we meet here because we love our Savior so much that we want to praise His name for salvation and the fact that we're going to be in heaven with Him forever. In other words, we never get over that fact, and so that's why we want to meet together. That's why we want to assemble ourselves together. We've gotten some wrong ideas about why church exists, and we need to understand we're here to praise His name. We're here to give Him the glory. Notice something else about the sacrifice of praise is that it is specific. It is specific. In the last part, he says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. In other words, our praise should have an intense focus. And that is, it is focused like a laser beam, a laser pointer upon what? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I know that sometimes when you go to church and you hear Bible studies and seminars and all of that, sometimes when you're young or if you are young in the faith, you say, man, it just seems like they do not have any other theme except Jesus Christ. And here's the answer to that. You're exactly right. One of the great homiletical, the greatest homiletical advices ever given to young men was given by Spurgeon, who said, look, get your text and make a beeline to the cross. Listen, if you get tired of hearing about Christ, then you're tired of Christianity. For Christianity is Christ, and you can't have it without Him. And that's why He is the focus. It is the name, Christ. It is the name of God. Do an interesting study sometime on the names of God throughout the Scripture. What a wonderful, blessed thing that is. We did that a few years ago on Wednesday nights. And we went through all of the names of God. What a rich study that is. But do we think about it? Do we think about the fact that He is our sufficient one? That He is, as we have sung, the Almighty One? Or as the choir sings on occasion, He is the Almighty, unchangeable God. All of those wonderful attributes that we know, but do we consciously think about it? Again, I think that part of our difficulty in 21st century America is that our busyness can crowd out the most important thoughts that we need to have. And those thoughts are about our Savior. I'm not talking about one who is going around chanting Gregorian chant 24/7. But I am talking about the fact that, again, we need to be in a constant state of thinking and praising our God. What did David say in the very first psalm? He says, in thy law I meditate how often? Day and night. Now, we don't take the literal interpretation to mean that David was constantly reading the Old Testament scrolls 24/7 without sleeping, and that he was constantly... What David was saying is just what we said a while ago. That what he's talking about is all of this is a lifestyle. He is a Christian. He is a child of God all the time. Listen, you, when you walk out those doors, you're going to continue to be a child of God if you're saved this morning. And here's the punchline. We need to act like it. We need to act like it. We need to behave in such a way that we reflect upon Him. That's all part of what the author is saying here. The fruit of our lips, just as they offered the first fruits of their sacrifices, and they were very specific about all of those things in the Old Testament. Here he said, under the new covenant, the fruit of our lips is to be praising and giving thanks to His name. Can I just say this? If you're one who has trouble ever being thankful about anything, that's a spiritual problem. because praise and sanctification and all those things go together. When we're separated unto God, when we know that we have Christ in our hearts, listen, we're going to have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is not anything else. It's not our charisma, our personality, our education, anything else. Listen, the strength that really makes us go from day to day is the fact that we can joy in the fact that we know Christ is our Savior. We can have joy. I still say, and I'm going to repeat it as often as I can, because I've seen it for so many years. And growing up as a PK, you see it, a lot of things. But here's the one thing that I've observed over the years, even as a child, is that a lot of times, some of the most sour and dour people on the face of the earth are those who call themselves Bible-believing Christians. It looks like they were weaned on persimmons and they have a steady diet of sucking on lemons. They are sour, and if you happen to be, and they smile, they think their face would crack. Listen, we of all people should be most joyful. Why? Because we have the truth. We have God's word. We're on our way to heaven. He's given us all things. And we could go on and list all of the blessings. In other words, here's the point I'm getting at. We have a lot that we can praise God for. The question is, do we? Well, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through, how things are happening at my job, how things are going with this person and that person and these all of these things. I understand that. I understand that completely. And the things of life get difficult and they get hard. And we feel like that we're doing nothing but treading water at times. But through all of that, listen to me. If you're a child of God, there is one, and the author of this book says it, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You always have God on your side, even in those difficult times. Again, and this is to reiterate what we've said about this, the specific nature of this sacrifice. One writer said, rather than the fruit of the fields, the new covenant Christian brings the fruit of his lips to God by offering praise, focusing on those things. You know, it's difficult. I thought of this hymn, and it's difficult to surpass the words of this great hymn. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. We have sung it. You've sung it for years. But like a lot of songs, I would venture to say that we never have really given a lot of conscious thought to many of the words. I would suggest to you sometime take a hymn book. Don't take one of ours home. But get a hold of a hymn book and start reading through. Just read them. Read the words. You're going to find that the great hymns of the faith have a depth that is unparalleled, unmatched. And it would be good maybe to include that as part of your devotional supplement, is to start reading through some of the great hymns. But this one, praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is your health and salvation. Come, all ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord above all things so wondrously reigning, sheltering you under His wings and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by His gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord who prosper your work and defend you. Surely His goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriends you. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him, all that has life and breath. Come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again, gladly forever adore Him. Wow, what depth. What thoughts. What a great challenge this is to praise the Lord. Let me ask you, Christian, are you offering daily on a continual basis the sacrifice of praise? And notice again, it's the word sacrifice. Well, Pastor, if I do this, it's going to take time. You're absolutely right. If I do this, then I just don't know if I'm going to have time in my day to do all this and fit it in. Listen, if you're too busy to offer the Lord a moment of meditative praise, can I just say this? You're too busy. You're too busy. And you need to choke some things out of your schedule and make Him a priority. Let's look at the last one. It's the very next verse, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The third sacrifice under the new covenant is this one. It is the sacrifice of service. It's the sacrifice of service. And it involves our daily living. It involves daily living. Or as one commentator, he referred to this as the sacrifice of kind and loving action. Kind and loving action. And so whereas Romans 12:1 focuses our consecration to God, that is the what relationship? You've been taught this before. That's the vertical relationship, offering our bodies. Everything that we are and everything that we have is up to God. That's the vertical relationship. And this is all throughout Scripture, by the way, that theme. Here, however, this is a reminder that the responsibility that we have towards one another. There is your what? Your horizontal relationships. And you very rarely find in all of the practical chapters in Scripture, you rarely find one without the other. And one is dependent upon the other. In other words, this, when our relationship with God is as it should be, in the vertical relationship, almost invariably, your relationship horizontally will be right. And when we're right horizontally, most likely, that is a sign that our vertical relationship will be right as well. They're linked together. So, if we're not right with our fellow men, most likely, look, we're not right with God. What does he say? And we're reminded of this. It's a hard truth. But if we have something against someone and we do not forgive them, he says, I will not forgive you. That is very significant. Well, we understand that this involves daily living as we read again. What does he say? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. The forget not is one word and it is a present middle imperative. In other words, all that to say, it is a command. And if you start looking and studying the book or the chapter 13, there are at least a dozen imperatives or commands in chapter 13. And this is one of them. He's saying, do not forget to show one another. There's one of the concepts of the one another's of the New Testament. There are scores of them. You cannot forget this. As difficult as it is, and as difficult as some people are, he says, do it anyway. Don't forget to do this. Listen, here's a practical matter. I have said this before, and it bears repeating. I believe that one of the reasons that we are not only seeing the exodus of people out of our churches, but those who refuse to come in to our churches in the United States of America is because of the lack of love, empathy, compassion, and all of those things that they see going on within the church. We have been our own worst enemy. Amen, Pastor Gray. I think, look, why would there be those from the outside looking in who would say, man, that is what I want, when all they see are those who can't get along with one another. When all they see is the backbiting, the criticizing, the judgmental spirit, those who say they love one another but really can't get along. Why would they want that? The fact is, they don't. The fact is, they're rejecting. The fact is that when we start to get frustrated about everything going on in the United States, we had better start doing some deep introspection ourselves. The church needs to quit playing the church. We need to actually live what we say we believe. It's very interesting to me that this same author, he has mentioned a specific way in which we can offer this particular sacrifice, the sacrifice of service. And you know where we find it? Way back at the beginning. Go back to Hebrews 3 in verse 13. Hebrews 3 in verse 13. Here's one. And I personally believe this is a little rebuking, or at least it should be. He says, but exhort one another, how often? Daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Perhaps one of the reasons that we are having those who are falling away from the faith is because they haven't had anybody to come along and say, look, brother, I love you, I'm praying for you. Brother, listen, I understand. Brother, look, I know you've fallen, but the Lord says that you can be forgiven. Brother, sister, look, I know these things are tough. In other words, what am I saying? I'm saying the exhortation is lacking. And again, one of the things that has and does mark the church is heavy criticism. Heavy criticism. It is rampant. And we have to be careful that we have our mouths and our tongues and our lips sanctified over to the Lord. It's very easy to do that, but it is not as easy to do this, and this is a command, but exhort one another daily. Let me ask you, how often are you exhorting one another? I think social media as a technology could be used in a very good, wise way if we were to do this right here. But how often is it not used for that? Most of the time, and I believe probably for most people around the world who are accessing it and using it, it's often used for selfish purposes. But think of that technology. The technology in and of itself is not bad or sinful. The way it can be the way it's used can be. My point is this, is that let's take the technology and use it for good. Think about the fact that you have now the ability to encourage some person halfway around the world or across the country in a split second by sending them an encouraging note or a verse or just a word saying, hey, I prayed for you this morning. I'd like to challenge all of us, when God brings someone to mind, let's ask the Lord to bring someone to mind, and when he does, let's do this every day. Say, I want, Lord, you to bring a name, and I want to encourage them today. Can we do that? I think we should do this. I know how it encourages my heart when I've had those send me some encouraging texts or verses or emails or whatever it may be, just to let me know they're praying for me. I tell you, that boosts my spirit. What about you? And if it boosts your spirit, think about the fact of what it will do to somebody else. See, all of this is part of this sacrifice of doing good and kind things to one another. Well, Pastor, that just takes time. Again, yes, I know. That's why it's called a sacrifice. It's called the sacrifice of service. Another song I thought about in regard to this. There's a gospel song that we have sung numerous times. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. And the song, the point is it is essentially a prayer asking God to make me a what? A blessing. Lord, be a blessing. It's not about me and mine and what I can get. It's about making me a blessing to others. It is the sacrifice of service. I don't know about you, but it seems, at least for me, recently I've been more sensitive to the fact that, you know what, when we go out into the world and we live, we move among others, my friends, that song is exactly right. We are surrounded by those who are what? Many are weary and sad. And the worst thing we can do, again, is to be so caught up in our own life and our own world, which is very easy to do, and be insensitive to the fact that there's a lot of people around me who are carrying heavy, heavy burdens. Lord, help me to be sensitive to that. Lord, I know this cashier is slow. I've been standing in this line for 15 minutes. Especially because of the fact that they have 30 and only 2 are open. And Lord, she's had to call the manager to come price check 3 times. And she's not very friendly. But here's the thing. She or he or whoever it is, they could have had some tragedy strike in their own life and we don't even know about it. They could be going through a divorce. They could be going through the loss of a loved one. And yet we, in our world, we insist on having our way perfectly smooth and we don't care about the things that others are going through. My friends, that's not Christian. You know, other people can have bad days too. And we of all people should be patient. Out in the highways and byways of life, many, many are weary and sad. And listen, it's not just out there. Listen, we have those in our own church family that are what? I think they are carrying burdens too. And that's why I say this. Look, you need to do what? You need to cast your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. You need to be praying for one another. You need to be exhorting others on a daily basis and saying, I know you may be going through a hardship, but I am praying for you. I have brought your name before the holy throne of God. Are you doing that? How often are we using that sacrifice of praise? And then here's one of the motivations for that. Is it to feel good about ourselves? It's not to build our self-esteem. He gives the reason that we're to do this in the last phrase. For with such sacrifices, God is, and what's the last two words? Well pleased. There it is. We don't just send somebody a note, a card, an email, a text, or whatever it may be. Whew, I've done my duty, and Pastor said I should. I feel good about myself. It is because it is pleasing to a holy God. So that you and I can do what? So that we can build one another up in the faith. The problem is we're so busy tearing down that the superstructure is not getting built like it should. And that's the reason he says earlier, and we just read it, that we need to build up because some are becoming hardened. And they're hardened. Why? Because nobody cares, or at least it seems like it. Again, one author said this, praise of God in word and deed are inseparable. That's exactly what we have in these two last two verses. Lip service must be accompanied by life service. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James 1:27. The only acceptable sacrifice we can offer to God with our hands is to do good to one another, to share, to minister in whatever ways we can to the needs of others in His name. Little children, John says, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. 1 John 3:18. That's in the Scripture. And yet again, how often do we offer that sacrifice? Only you can answer that. As I began the message last week, I mentioned that the word sacrifice is one that has become almost entirely unknown in our society. Sacrifice? Me sacrifice? To give up something? No way. But it's interesting if we go back and think about the definition of it. And the basic dictionary definition means it is the surrender of something for the sake of something else. For the Christian, we would have to also add surrender for the sake of someone else. We surrender our all to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we surrender ourselves for others to demonstrate Christ's sacrifice for us. And all I can add is this, is let us do the same. Let's follow His example. Let's obey the commands of Scripture and offer these sacrifices, which we're to be doing on a daily basis unto God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders of it. Oh, Lord, we are so weak at times. Lord, we are feeble at times, and we pray that thou, through thy word, would strengthen us, help us. Lord, may we offer these things, give them up for the sake of others, because, Lord, you've commanded it. Lord, may we first of all give ourselves wholly and totally to thee. Lord, perhaps there are those here, Lord, who are holding back part of their life, even their heart this morning. Father, I pray that they would come to thee. Lord, if they do not know thee as Savior, Lord, may they come to know thee today. For Lord, you have told us in your word that, behold, today is the day of salvation. Lord, maybe there are those of thy children this morning who, Lord, they have a difficult time in offering themselves in totality. Lord, they have a difficult time in praising, and Lord, we have a difficult time with others. Lord, we're frail. Lord, you know that we're made of dust. And so we ask for thy help in these areas. And Lord, I pray that we would come to you and ask you to, Lord, help us, strengthen us. So Lord, do a work in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Whatever your need is, as our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, we take just one moment. We do not prolong our time here, but we come to this point in our service where this is a time of decision. In other words, you take the Scriptures and what you've heard and you do something with it. Christian, can you say today that you are offering all of these up to God on a continual basis? Listen, if not, here's the moment where we ask the Lord to help us through the strength of His Holy Spirit. Lord, help me by thy power and by thy might to offer myself to give praise to you and to give service to others.